All right. As always, Abraham, I got a lot to cover, but I always like starting with what you want to discuss. What's on your top plate?
You know, Rob, I just wanted to get your perspective. I'm very excited about this, and it's a lot of good stuff going on, and that's carrying me through. But man, I'm just getting tired. I mean, I was in here Saturday and Sunday, both days, pretty much full days. And you know, I do think ultimately this is going to organize. This is organizing us and making my job easier. But you know, so many relationships. I mean, like, I hadn't seen this person yesterday I met with in probably a year, maybe a year and a half. So, you know, the calls are all taking an hour. I'm doing a lot of face-to-face, you know, a lot of quarterlies and doing a lot of, you know, financial plans. So I've got, like, three or four financial plans now in various stages of needing to get done. And, you know, I don't see any way I can do those plans without coming in again on the weekends or, you know, I'm staying until 8 or 9 some nights and, you know, not making it to the gym, and you know, it's just I'm starting to feel worn down. So have you, other guys gone through this, and what's your take on all that?
Yes, other people have gone through it. The answer to your question is yes.
Okay.
Varying degrees. I mean, we've got, you know, on one end, I have people who start with a whole lot more relationships than you, and they're still bogged down a little bit at this point in offloading some of those relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And on the other end, I got two guys in Chicago that started with 38 households. So theirs is a little different. So let me just unpack a little bit of this. It's very that you both everybody work at a high level of energy. With a high level of energy, and there's a book that is in the recommended reading. It's by Jim Lehrer, where he talks about there are three things that you need to do to work at a high level of energy, and those things are diet, exercise, and sleep.
Right.
He talks about it being a three-legged stool. You can't do just two of the three. You got to be doing all of them. And here's the picture. He says to think of each day as a sprint.
Mm-hmm.
And you sprint through that day, get a lot done because you have a high level of energy. Then you go do recovery work, which is exercise, sleep, and diet, and then you come back in the next day. Sprint another day. And he said, he talks in the book about life is a series of sprints, not a marathon. And you've probably worked around people, and you just look at them and know they're running a marathon.
Mm-hmm.
They're just worn out. And you know what happens at the end of a marathon. You know, people throw up and everything else at the end of the marathon. So here's the picture. Here's another picture. If you were running a marathon, in one lane you had the world's best marathon runner, and in the other hand, you had a bunch of people, ordinary people, all they had to do was run 100 yards, tag the next person, that person runs 100 yards on through the 22.2 miles. In that case, the people, the ordinary schlubs, would win because everybody's sprinting, whereas the other guy's running a marathon. Do you see the picture?
Sure.
So what you have to do, this is not an elective. People, and again, I'm going out of Larry's book, people want your time. People don't want your time. They want your energy. You've been around people, and you're talking to them, and they're not looking at you. They're looking over your shoulder or whatever. They're not engaged, and you know how that feels. People would rather have an hour of you fully engaged than 4 hours where you're not fully engaged. So when you say, I'm not getting to the gym, what I'm telling you is we all have to work extra sometimes. I mean, that just happens. You have a big prospect meeting on Monday, and you've had a full week, and sometimes you just have to come in and get those things done. But those should be the outliers. So it's not you're hurting your overall effort if you're not getting to the gym. I mean, you know everything that working out does for you, the endorphins it releases, all those things. So these are not optional. If you said to Jim Laird, Jim, I don't have time to do that. He's a really nice man. And he would say, well, Abraham, I hear you, but I suggest that you have to make time to do those things. So
I mean, that's all great, Rob, but these plans aren't going to do themselves, you know?
They aren't. But let's go back to what we talked about a couple sessions ago. What's your goal in the planning area? Here's what I've written down. You want to have 12 plans started by year end.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to be at 100% or as close as practical by June of 18.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hearing your words. You don't have those three that you've got going.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have to be done next Thursday.
That's true, but I mean, I can't start a plan and then, I mean, I can't just start a bunch of plans and then not actually produce them.
Exactly right. So what I would say to you, you got three started, you keep working on those. Again, the goal is to have 12 started. I want to be clear, I don't want you to have 12 started and none of them completed.
Right.
I'm just changing the measuring from 12 completed to 12 started.
Mm-hmm.
Out of those 12 you start, I mean, this is July for all practical purposes. We still got 5 months. You're going to get those things done. Now, let me talk about something else you said. You said these meetings are taking an hour. Are you talking
easily
about the non-review meetings also? Are you
No.
About your non-review are short calls?
Yeah, but the thing is, Rob, what I'm finding is that theoretically, yes, but these non-review calls, because I haven't had a lot of contact with a lot of these folks, and I know that this will get better as we go, there's a lot of stuff to talk about, you know, so it's even those non-review calls are taking, you know, the better part of at least 45 minutes.
Well, that is, it's going to take a little longer at the beginning.
Yeah, I understand that.
But hear what you're saying. Let me repeat back to you what I heard. Let me go back to the statement you made to me very early in Supernova, and it's something I've shared with other people, not with your name on it. You want a practice that you can be proud of.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't say it. If I were branding Supernova and was looking for a tagline, that's one I would consider. What you said to me is, I haven't talked to these people in a long time.
Right.
It's just like a doctor's appointment. If you haven't seen the doctor for a couple of years, or the dentist for a couple of years is a better example, it's going to take him longer than if you had gone in every 6 months to get, you know, for a cleaning and all those other things.
Right.
So, I'm not. When you tell me that some of these people you hadn't talked to in quite a while, I understand why they're taking longer. But what I'm also thinking, Abraham, is these are people you could have lost.
Right, and some of them I probably would have lost. They were on their way to walking out the door. You know, Rob, I think what I'm looking for from you this morning is just some reassurance that other people have gone through this process of, you know, it just becoming a lot of work and feeling overwhelming, but that if I keep powering through it and doing it one bite at a time, that it will get a lot easier.
Now, I can tell you that is the case. Now,
good.
Do you ever run? Are you a runner?
I hate to run, but yeah, I've done it.
I hate to run too, but I've done it. But there's that point where you say, I just can't go another step, I can't go another step, and then you kind of break through.
Yeah, that's how it is with CrossFit workouts. I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah, that's exactly what you're going to experience.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to wake up someday and say, wow,
I'm doing it.
Pretty good. So if what you're looking for is assurance that other people have gone through this and come out the other side, I will tell you that's the case. I think Rob even says in some of his videos that it does take extra work up front, but you get to reap the benefits for a long, long time.
Yeah. Okay, great. Well, thank you.
And think of something else we've talked about. Everything you and I do, everything you do with your clients, the default is always going to be doing it well instead of doing it instead of doing more of it, and we're not proud of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, going back to these plans, if at the end of the year you've started 10 plans, but the 5 you've gotten completed have just been home runs as far as the quality, you've gotten referrals, so on and so forth. I'd rather do 5 plans well. I'm not changing the measurement. I'm just making a point. I'd rather stick with your goal of having 12 started by year end than having 20 started and you run around like a crazy man.
Right. Me too.
Okay. So.
Yeah. In fact, I'm not going to start anymore until I get these ones further through the process.
That's,
you know,
right.
And
what you're going to find is as you get to go through this process with the planning, you're going to be able to do them much more efficiently. You're just going to get
true.
A style to you. Do you ever call Jeff Hicks in Louisville?
I did. We had a really great conversation. It was excellent, very helpful, and thank you for setting that up.
Yeah, he's a terrific young man. Well, he's probably 42, 43. So take a deep breath and promise yourself that you are going to continue to do the things that make you efficient. Diet,
okay.
Exercise, sleep. Diet, exercise, sleep. I can't stress it. If you don't do it, it's going to hurt your performance. And also, your clients can feel your energy. When
right.
you've been on the phone with somebody and they put you to sleep, there's no passion there. There's no energy. Your clients feel the energy. So get back in the gym.
All right.
All right. All right. How are things with your clients? Anything you are saying to them? Anything you want to report? Anybody panicking? Just give me 30 seconds on what you're.
I mean, with the Supernova clients, things are going well. I mean, one guy is a little nervous because he's kind of new to investments, and he came in last summer, so it hasn't been exactly as smooth as of rides. One lady who is not in Supernova and she's a butler, she's my most challenging one. She, alternates between, you know, why, how come I'm not making more money and, you know, oh my God, I'm going to lose everything, sell. So, you know, she's a real challenge. And of course she called yesterday flipping out, but you know, that's, I can handle that. That's fine.
All right. The lady who's a challenge, is she the person with $2 million you told me about?
No, she's got $150,000. She's a sister of a real good client and COI. And I've told her, you know, you're my most difficult client because, you know, when things are going well, you want to be making more money, so you push me to be more aggressive. And then when markets pull back, as they do, then you freak out and you want to sell everything, and you don't realize that you're shooting yourself in the foot.
Well,
I've been very direct with her.
Yeah, and is she in the right asset allocation?
Yeah.
Okay, that's, you know, the picture, and I think I've told you this story, but I think it always fits in situations like this. In 87, when the market crashed, my mom was 50-40-50-10, equities, bonds, stocks or cash. That was the right, my mom, that was the right allocation for my mother. And in those ugly days when the S&P was, the Dow was down 23%, she was down 7.
Mm-hmm.
So she stayed around for the run that followed 87.
Right.
If she had been all in equities, I don't think she could have stood it.
Right.
Losing 23% of her portfolio. And she would have taken a long time to get back in.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest friend in investing is time.
Right.
And I've never met anybody who's really good at timing a market on a consistent basis. So, is the way you anticipate change is being in the right asset allocation. So I'm glad you're having. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, this lady is one of those, you know, I need to make more money because I don't have a lot. I'm behind in my savings, but yet because I don't have a lot, I can't afford to lose any of it, which is the worst kind of client to have. And if it wasn't for being a butler, I definitely would have let her go a while back and said investing just isn't for you.
Yeah. Well, it people like that get in at the top and out at the bottom.
Absolutely.
They,
of course.
They provide liquidity for investors when you really think about it.
Yeah.
Kind of sad. All right. I asked you last week how many prospects that you had. You said you had around four. Do you have an exact number today?
I don't, but I can certainly do give you a – we can agree on a time and date when I will have an exact number for you. Maybe 5 p.m. today or something.
Yeah, I don't you got a lot going on. It shouldn't take that long to put it together. By the time we meet again –
Okay.
Just have an exact exact number. All right?
All right. Let me make
a
note of that.
Last week we covered the part about being able to give referrals. I want to, and I told you I was going to talk today about how to get in front of CPAs who are enthusiastically endorsed.
Okay.
So let's walk through that thing. I didn't go through it as deeply as I would like to. So you're going to ask every client that you have, can you enthusiastically endorse, let's stick with the CPA, can you enthusiastically endorse your CPA? And clients are going to, as I said last week, clients may not know how to answer that question. And when that happens, you have to be able to say, well, let me describe for you what an enthusiastically endorsed CPA does. And you know it's what I described to you is what my CPA does. He's aggressive. He's aggressive within the law. I got audited for 2013. He was right there with me. Matter of fact, I'm going to get more money back because I overlooked some things, but he walked me through it. He returns phone calls. He returns emails. And he does the work. He's not the cheapest guy in town, nor do I want him to be. But he gives value for what he does charge. He's creative with ideas. So all of those things. So can you describe if a client would say to you, "Well, Abraham, what do you mean? Are you able to describe what an enthusiastically endorsed CPA does?"
You know, I haven't thought about that, but, yeah, I believe so.
Well, here, again, the things that are important to me, and do you have a CPA?
I do.
Can you enthusiastically endorse that CPA?
Yes.
Why?
Well, he's very proactive, so he spends a lot of time with his clients during the year to make sure they're doing everything they need to be doing to minimize their taxes.
Okay.
And he works closely with me for the benefit of our mutual clients during the year, again, for the benefit of, you know, so that we can minimize their taxes. Responsive.
Talk about what he does for you.
For me personally?
Why do you think he's a great CPA, enthusiastically? Why do you enthusiastically endorse your CPA?
Because he sent me a couple of good clients.
Okay, but that's not a reason. That if you're talking to a client.
I know. I think he's very accessible, proactive. I think he does a good job. He is aggressive up to the limits of the law. Without doing anything illegal, always looking for ways to save me money on my taxes and brings ideas to me proactively, and very responsive and organized.
Returns your calls?
Absolutely.
Returns your emails?
Sure.
Okay.
And he's built a good staff that also is very responsive as well.
Okay. Now, here's what happens to some people. Some people get a packet in the mail called a tax organizer.
He does send that.
They fill it out. Mm-hmm. They send it back. They call and say the taxes are ready. They go in, give a check, get their taxes, and that's it. They don't even see the CPA. It's a very small relationship. So when you describe what a enthusiastically endorsed CPA does, you're going to have some clients who say, "Well, I'm not getting that." So So Ms. Jones, can you enthusiastically endorse your CPA? Well, why are you asking me that? And again, I told you last week, the chances are she won't ask that, but you got to have the thought process. Ms. Jones, part of what I do for my clients is make sure they have the very best professional help away from the things that I do for them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I get that. All right, can you enthusiastically endorse your CPA? Well, what do you mean? Well, let me describe for you in my mind, an enthusiastically endorsed CPA does. The CPA is aggressive within the law, has creative ideas, gets the work done on time, returns my phone calls, returns my emails.
Mm-hmm.
That's what an enthusiastically endorsed CPA does. Well, Abraham, now that you've described it that way, I'm not getting that.
Right.
So you now have the opportunity to refer Mrs. Jones to somebody you know will do a great job.
Mm-hmm.
The number one qualification for you that a CPA has to have isn't that they give you referrals. It's that they give your clients a great experience.
Right.
So when you think about your go-to CPAs, this CPA that your CPA who refers to you, do you refer to him?
Absolutely.
Do you have anybody? What's his name?
Bill Forsey. Bill.
Bill. All right. Do you have any other CPAs? Go-to CPAs?
You know, not really. I mean, there was one guy I used to use a lot, but then that relationship kind of soured. He was getting into real estate also, and he got some of my clients into some real estate deals in the mid-2000s that soured, and he ended up getting sued. So I backed away from that just because it was all over the papers, and I felt like that carried a lot of baggage and not real happy about, you know, taking investment dollars out of my clients' accounts to go into real estate that blew up.
Yeah, that violates a lot of things in my mind.
And also, well, without beating a dead horse, he's also gotten, his fees have gone up and he gives less personal attention.
But you know what?
To answer your question.
Some people just sit and take it because they don't know the alternatives. That's what you're providing. So what I want you to do is I want you to develop more go-to CPAs. I want you to broaden your footprint in the Coral Gables area. So going through this thing with Mrs. Jones, and you describe you ask her, can you enthusiastically endorse your CPA? And she says, oh, I love my CPA. She describes what her CPA does. Here's terrific. I'm glad to hear that. One of the things that I do in my practice is make sure that my clients, you know where I'm going with this, have the very best professional help away from the things that I do for them. So you've confirmed that you've heard her. Here, and then you say, I work with CPAs around the Coral Gables area, or however you define your market, the county, whatever. I like to know the good ones. May I introduce myself to your CPA and use your name?
Mm-hmm.
All right? Now, your clients are all going to say yes because they love this CPA. They want to help them. So you pick up the phone and you call the CPA. And whether you get screened or get through to the CPA, here's what you want to say in your words. Let's say that the CPA's name is Bill. Bill, mm-hmm. we have a common client. And then you give the client's name. Mm-hmm. She gave me permission to use her name. You got to make sure that the CPA knows that you're not violating confidences.
Okay.
She was just in for her quarterly review or her, we just had a I talked to my clients on a monthly basis. I was talking to her, and she was singing your praises.
Mm-hmm.
I work with CPAs around the Coral Gables area. I like to know the good ones. Is there a time that I could stop by, introduce myself, and find out what you're doing that makes our common client so excited about what you do?
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me tell you why I know this will work. If you got a call from this CPA and he says, Abraham, we've got a common client. He was just in here singing your praises. I get to work. I work with advisors around Coral Gables area. I like to know the good ones. Is there a time I could stop by and you could describe for me why our common client is so excited? You would find a way to meet that guy, right?
Absolutely.
CPAs are in the same structure, are working toward the same structure that you are. CPAs can't make off of small, ordinary, non-complicated tax returns. People can do those things with TurboTax or whatever. What they're looking for are more complicated cases where they can add value and therefore add margin. In other words, sure. they would like to know the people in your practice.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to see you. And when you go in to see the CPA, you're there. The reason you're there is to learn about what they do. You don't launch right into what you do. You can't go right. in there under false pretenses. And you listen. But here's what's going to happen is you're going to have an opportunity to tie what they do back to what you do. And let me give you an example. When I started working with Rob Knapp, I mean, after we both retired and 5 years ago, I went in to see my CPA because just to find out what I could write off, and I'm an independent contractor, not an employee. It's 1099, all of that stuff. And he said, well, what are you doing? Tell me what you're doing. He's been my CPA, as I told you, since 1995. And I explained Supernova to him. He says, oh, he said, Rob, I did that a long time ago. He said, I set a minimum fee.
Mm-hmm.
That my staff has gone from 9 to 3 people. And he said, my life is a lot simpler because he has fewer clients. So my point is, when this CPA starts talking about what they do, there's a good chance he's going to talk about he focuses on upper end, where his specialties are, so on, and you're going to be able to tie what you've done back to what he said. Are you with me on that?
Absolutely.
So let's go through it. Let's go through it one more time.
Okay.
Now again, this could be a tag. I think this is better as a tag-on conversation. This isn't a standalone phone call.
Mm-hmm.
Tag it on. Ms. Jones, while I've got you, I'm always updating your records. I noticed that your CPA is Bill Jones. Can you enthusiastically endorse Bill Jones? What do you mean, Abraham? Well, here's what a great enthusiastically endorsed CPA does in my mind. They do great work. They return phone calls. They do the work on time. They return emails. They are aggressive within the law, do money, and they do it, and they get the work done on time. That's what an enthusiastically endorsed CPA does. Oh, gosh, now that you say that, Abraham, I've got a pretty sterile relationship, and she describes that, and you get to say, well, Ms. Jones, I work with some really good CPAs in this area. I would be more than happy to introduce you to a couple to see if it might be a better fit.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go down the other. Let's go down the other way. Well, gosh, now that as you described an enthusiastically endorsed CPA, Abraham, I'm getting everything you described plus more. Wow, that's good to hear. I'm glad. One of the things I make sure with my clients is that they have the very best professional help away from the things that I do for them. Ms. Jones, I work with CPAs around the Coral Gables area. I'd like to know the good ones. Would you mind if I called, introduced myself to your CPA and used your name? Oh, gosh, Abraham, that's fine. You get the CPA on the phone. Bill, we have a common client who's allowed me to use her name. Ms. Jones is, I know, is you do her work. She's a client of mine. She was just in here for her monthly meeting, subtly saying, and she was singing your praises, or she was saying great things about you, whatever is the verbiage that's comfortable for you. Mm-hmm. I get to work with CPAs around the area. I like to think I know the good ones. Would you mind, would you have time for me to drop by and you could explain to me what you do that makes our common client so enthusiastic about what you do?
Mm-hmm.
You got it?
Yep.
So what happens? You go in there, and the very worst thing that's going to happen is this: you're going to have an opportunity to tell your story to a CPA. You're also, that CPA is going to know you and isn't going to be trying to switch switch their friends to be Ms. Jones' financial advisor. The best thing that's going to happen is you're going to say, this is somebody I would refer to.
Mm-hmm.
And so you've got another go-to CPA. And then that's when the relationship could start, where you're referring to each other. Never forget, when a CPA recommends you or recommends any advisor, they're taking a risk.
Right.
Because if you blow that client up, and you just told me an experience where you had a CPA who blew a couple of your clients up, if the CPA refers you to somebody and you blow them up, he's going to lose that client.
Mm-hmm.
So you talk about your monthly scheduled contact and all the things you do, having a concierge practice for a limited number of people, it's going to strike a responsive chord. I had an FA down in Texas, a UBS guy a couple years ago, who went in and did that, and the CPA moved his account to him. People don't hear stories like the story that you're telling. So here's what you do. You go through, on the bottom of your first page in your blue folder, where it's those two boxes down there.
Yeah.
When you ask the enthusiastically endorsed question, you put the date. You don't want to ask that question every 6 months.
Right.
So you have that enthusiastically endorsed question, you just write EE 62816, and that's something you follow up on. Ms. Jones, last year, you were really happy with your CPA. Is that still the case? Oh, still love it. So you're asking, but you can't ask that question more than once a year.
Right.
You got it?
Yep.
Okay. And then you can do the same thing for the estate planning attorney. And I wouldn't make it on the same call. It's starting to sound like a test. Ms. Jones, a couple months ago I asked you if you could enthusiastically endorse your CPA, and we had a great conversation around that. I want to ask you the same thing about your attorney. Can you enthusiastically endorse your attorney? Does that make sense to you?
Absolutely.
It's really simple.
Mm-hmm.
Abraham, it's not. It's a tag-on conversation. You're strengthening your brand, because part of what you do is making sure that your client has the very best professional help away from the things that you do. You're getting an opportunity to get in front of CPAs and broaden your footprint in the area. You got it?
Yep.
All right. So just again, I know you got a lot on your plate. This is not a complicated thing to do, and can lead to really great things.
Yeah.
If it's something that if Ms. Jones says, I can really enthusiastically endorse my CPA, if you don't have time to follow up on that this week, you just make yourself a note and you follow up in a couple of weeks. Ms. Jones was in here 3 weeks ago on during her monthly meeting, our monthly contact. She was saying you don't have to follow up immediately.
Right. Okay.
All right. Anything else you want to talk about?
No, I think we're good.
All right. Can you spend just a second on your practice overview?
Certainly.
Can you get it in front of you?
Sure.
Tell me when you're ready.
I am ready.
Okay. Just from a prettiness point of view, you see how at the top, you don't have the second and third paragraphs are indented.
Oh yeah, you're right.
Yeah, just from a pretty point of view. All right.
Did you suggest taking away the indents or indenting the first one?
Doesn't matter. Just make it consistent. I would make them all up against the left margin. I like the way the first one looks.
Yeah,
better.
That looks better. I just changed it. All right.
Now, this hasn't gone through compliance, has it?
No.
It has to go through compliance. There are a couple things in here that, there are a couple things in here that that an attorney can interpret as a promise. So just make sure that you send this to compliance before you send it out. I would like to see something here about Anthony. It just gives your team a little more substance. Anthony, how long have you been in the financial services area?
Well, Rob, let me send over. There's a second attachment I'm going to send you now that we also put in the file. That is just about Anthony. In fact, that I put behind mine.
All right. You haven't sent that to me.
No, I'm going to do it right now.
All right. All right. All right. Why don't you let me look at that and look at yours and send back to you. Excuse me.
Okay.
Send back to you what it would look like to me, putting it all on the same page.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
All right. The most important part of this conversation today, Abraham, was what we talked about at the beginning. High energy, diet, exercise, and sleep. And you will pop out of the other side of this very excited about what you've gotten done.
I believe that. I can see that.
All right. And the market's up 186 points.
Nothing wrong with that. That helps.
All right.
All right.
Talk to you next week.
Thanks. All right. Take care.
See ya.
Bye-bye.